true sacrificial love. Or maybe resurrection, true history, maybe. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and if Christ has not been raised, then empty is our teaching, empty is your faith. So without resurrection, we might as well just all go home. So it's probably worth exploring a bit today about the resurrection and why it's so central to our faith. And we're going to try to do that with three words. So I don't know if there are any kids at the back who I didn't see who came in, but if you want to come join us on the carpet, feel free. Does anybody want to unwrap a non-chocolate Easter egg? We kept chocolate for after this. Yes, how are you? Come unwrap my first Easter egg. Come again. Da-da-da, see what the first word is. I'll be a fruit here. These were beautifully decorated by my friend Rebecca. They just know better than to come and stay with us on a Saturday night. That's usually visually. Amazing! Brilliant! And maybe one of the older children can tell us what that means. Truth, exactly. Fraser, what does that say? Truth, fantastic. That's brilliant. Now, while we just have a think about that, could you do me a favour and take the thingy, maybe you could get in the hand. Can you go and see if you can find five wooden eggs up there that we're going to, that have bits about truth on them? Can you hang them on here and then you can sort of sit down and pop them on? We have to think about truth. Just going to see if you can find the wooden eggs. Spin your mercy. So Jesus says, the reason I was born, the reason I came into this world was to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And you can almost hear the exasperation in Pilate's voice in response to that, saying, but what is truth? What is truth? Truth has become so distorted in our world. Half-truths, fake news, we accept that my truth may not be your truth. And it's quite easy for us to do that with the resurrection, perhaps explaining it away as a spiritual resurrection or a metaphor for the life that Jesus gives us. But Jesus is quite clear what the truth is. When he speaks to the disciples, he says, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. He will come back to life. But they didn't understand what he meant. It may seem obvious to us now, and we call this at work the retrospectoscope. In the emergency department, I have very little access to the results of tests. We see the patients and then we send them on. On the ward, when you have access to the entire plethora of tests, it's very obvious what is going on. That is called the retrospectoscope. And in retrospect, it's obvious what Jesus is talking about. But Peter even gets into trouble for telling Jesus he's wrong. He takes Jesus aside and says, never, Lord, never will this happen to you. And the truth Jesus shares is not always comfortable. And maybe that's why we soften the truth a bit, round the corners. But Jesus is adamant that this is the truth. The children have been hanging bits of truth onto the tree, so you can come and have a look at those a bit later. And then after Jesus says what's going to happen, it happens in a way that you literally could not write. Does anyone want to come have a look at this amazing Easter garden? Do you want to come and see it? So there's a sort of wonderful stone that rolls back here. Kenny's done an amazing job. It's probably a good opportunity to say thank you to Flower as well. So this fantastic tomb. In our Matthew reading, it tells us there's a huge earthquake. The stone rolls away. The stone rolls away, and an angel is there, and he says to Mary, don't be afraid. Angels always say that, don't they? They say it at Christmas as well. And every angel says, don't be afraid, because it must be a bit scary. And the angel comes along and says, I know you are looking for Jesus. He's not here. He is alive. Pretty clear about it. And he says, go off and tell the disciples. Now, women back in those days, no one really listened to them very much. So if you were going to write a story about this, it's not ideal to have the women as the first witnesses. I'm going to put it out there. And let's take a poll. Do we think the disciples believe the women? No. So they decide to send a couple of people off to go and check for themselves. And to be fair, even Mary bumps into Jesus and doesn't recognise him, thinks he's the gardener. And it's interesting to me that reading the Gospel account, no one ever questions in Gospel account, not even the Pharisees, whether Jesus was actually dead. The Romans were very good at
is alive.
My master, she says. So, the interesting thing about the stolen body concept is the only people who really got the fact that Jesus might rise from the dead after 3 days, or they might try and make it look like it, were the Pharisees. So they put some measures in place, didn't they, to make sure that no one could steal the body, ironically providing us with probably the most solid evidence that the stolen body theory, if not impossible, is very improbable. So that's a nice little twist in the story. But this is a story that you would not write. The disciples do not come out well, do they? They are scared. They don't understand what's going on. They are so scared they lock themselves in a room. And although poor old doubting Peter gets the bad rap, actually most of them didn't believe to start with. This isn't a story that a Jew would write. So, time for the next word. Will you please word get quicker as we go on? Who wants to just get? I think you're the youngest in the church, so you get to unwrap all of these strokes. So, what's our next word? I'm going to send you off looking for more Easter eggs, because I think you missed one up there, and I'm a bit worried that when we get to communion, you might trip over. Well done! Fraser's going to read it for you, because you've done all the hard work.
Life.
Thank you very much. I'm going to send you some fancy more Easter eggs. So, life, the word life. Jesus encounters people in their lives, and he makes a point of outing any attempt to distort the truth. How do we try to distort the truth in our life? The way we might appear, you know, how we want to be seen by other people. He meets a woman at the well who says, "I have no husband." He goes on to tell her the entire history of her life, but not with judgment. He knows the full honest truth about her life, offers her acceptance rather than judgment, and then says, "Have some living water." And in truth, we are all hampered by things that make us feel less than alive. If we think of being truly alive as living in full connection with our Creator God, then sin is anything that gets in the way of that. And Jesus says the law that covers all of the laws is love the Lord your God and love your neighbour. That is the yardstick against which we're measured. It's a lie. It's not a graduation. We can't be nearly good enough. We are all on the wrong side of that line, and he says we can't save ourselves. Jesus came as the Son of God because he loves us. He longs for us to experience life to the full. He says, "I came to give you life to the full." So he died for our sin, everything that gets in the way of us knowing God fully, living our best life, the life that God intended for us, and he ensures that we can be restored and living alive in God today. And it's not just into eternity. This isn't the elixir of life into eternity. This is life now. Freedom now from the stuff that stops us being everything we are meant to be. So thank you for finding those eggs. That's brilliant. We're on to our last word. Do you want to come and unwrap it again? Fantastic. So it's definitely going better than the fact that what does that word say?
Way.
Way. Thank you, that's brilliant. You're going to see if you can find even more eggs. Fantastic. So how do we come to this life? What is the way to have life? Now you might notice these words are from the same from Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. But the bit that he says after that is, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that may seem a bit exclusive, a bit bombastic. He's saying the only way we can come to God is through him. There's nothing we can do to find favour in God's eyes by ourselves. But it's also really inclusive, because throughout the entire story of Jesus' life, he wants everyone across the racial divides, across the gender divides, across the world, to be knowing this message that he wants to restore our relationship with God. Even when he was born, travellers come from the east, find a random lonely toddler and worship him and recognise that he's the Son of God. It's been happening since his birth, but he welcomes in people from all backgrounds and all walks of life, and from all over the world. So, in summary, in John 14, Jesus himself says, Believe me when I say, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe the evidence of the works themselves. Jesus speaks to us in the Gospels. The words are just as alive and active now as they were when he said them. I've left some in the back of some on the second sort of slot down in the middle bits where you get your books. So if you want to just pick one up and take one away, look at the evidence for yourself. Maybe your three words today are, I'm not sure. And that's fine. Plenty of people said that to Jesus. And go to Jesus and tell him what your three words are. Open your heart, open your mind, have a look at the evidence for yourself. Make the decision for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. So as we go through the rest of the service, let's think of our own three words. What does this message mean to us? We've looked at truth, the truth of the resurrection being central to our faith. Life, of how we can become everything God has made us to be. And he takes away everything that cuts us off from God. And then the way, how do we do it? Just come to him, lay it all down, open your heart and see what God has got to offer you. You've got nothing to lose. So our lives on earth will end. The world will pass away, but his true words will remain into eternity. They offer us the way to life with him, not just into eternity, but now, because he has conquered death. And now nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.